Welcome back, everyone, live here in Los Angeles, living the good life. Lots coming up here in the show still, but first things first, headed to Miami with Paxton Quigley for another cannabis healing segment. Good morning, Paxton.
Good day, and hello to all of our cannabis healing listeners. Folks, have you ever heard of 420? Well, I got to tell you, folks, 420 is almost upon us. And whether you're a consumer or not, April 20th is widely recognized and celebrated as a national holiday for cannabis culture. Now, 420 is a special time when literally millions here in the United States and around the world celebrate the cannabis plant. And also, they fight for a change in drug policy, and they discuss all sorts of ways to end prohibition. Now, you might not believe this, but there are cannabis-themed activities and events all around the country. There are like parades or smoke-ins or just people getting together to enjoy the plant and celebrate the weed holiday. Now, the origin of 420 has provoked various theories. Some say it comes from the number of chemical compounds in cannabis, and others say it has to do with Bob Marley's birth date. I mean, there are many more stories, but none of them are true. Our guest today is going to tell us all about the annual stoner holiday, 420, how it started, and what it signifies. We'd like to welcome Rick Cusick to Cannabis Healing. Welcome, Rick. How are you?
Thank you for having me on, Paxton. I really appreciate the opportunity to tell everybody about 420 because it's coming up soon, and you better prepare. It's the high holidays upon us.
Well, I just heard that you've been deeply involved in the world of cannabis for over five decades. That's 50 years. Rick, you've been the former associate publisher and co-editor of High Times Magazine and HighTimes.com. You're also on the board of directors of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. That's normal. And you're also the co-founder of Whoopi Goldberg's medical cannabis company, Whoopi and Maya.
Maya is probably is a miracle worker in Northern California, a small legend of how to make really, really good cannabis products. So I put the two of them together, and that's how Whoopi and Maya was born.
Well, that's nice. Now, I got to talk to you about 420, though.
Yeah.
Where and how did this holiday start?
Well, you know, I have a variety of experiences learning it myself, so I'll tell you how I started. But a long time ago, I was writing a column in New Jersey called The Pot Page for an alternative magazine, and 420 started coming up and around. High Times magazine, unbeknownst to me, had pushed it out. It had been something that started in California. We're pretty sure of that. It has nothing to do with Bob Marley's birthday. There are more than 500 compounds in cannabis plants, so that doesn't count. But the most popular legend has to do with five high school kids sitting around a statue of Louis Pasteur. I'll get to that. But the first thing I heard was that, this is like 1996, I heard that it had to do with the California Highway Patrol, and 420 was the actual code for when they wanted to stop somebody. We have a 420 on Highway 9, you know, that kind of thing. And they thought it was a code for, you know, disorderly person or something to that effect. They're pulling the guy over. That's not true. I heard later that that's not the code for that sort of thing. So the consensus is that what came up started in San Rafael, California, 1971. Five high school students, probably my age. I'm 64, so these guys are probably like 65 years old now. Steve Capper, Dave Reddix, Jeff Knoll, Larry Schwartz, and Mark Grappitz.
And no women. No women, though. No young women. Only guys.
Well, you know, in the old days, I mean, the thing is, marijuana started off as a guy thing because it was an easy way to prove your bona fides as an outlaw. It didn't really put you in real danger, but on the other hand, you could say, hey, baby, you know, I sling some weed. I'm doing, you know,
okay, we'll leave that part out.
There's a whole other story about why marijuana was originally having to do with that. But the point is that the Waldos, collectively they called themselves the Waldos. They picked 4:20 in the afternoon to get high underneath a statue of Louis Pasteur at San Rafael High School. They originally called their plans 420 Louis, but eventually lowered down to 420, and that was the code word. And that's, like I say, the consensus is that's what happened. It comes mostly from Steve Hager, was the editor of High Times for many years and the creator of the Cannabis Cup. And in one of the stories that he wrote about it, he had said that, I have no way of sourcing this, but this comes from Hager, is that one of the guys who was the Waldos, who was Dave Reddix, went to work for the Grateful Dead as Phil Lesh's roadie. And it was he who brought a socially acceptable time into the Grateful Dead culture, and then it spread to the Grateful Dead culture. That sounds right to me, because a lot of things, including cannabis, spread to the Grateful Dead culture. So I would think it's a process. Like, you know, you think of today like a meme on the computer and how a meme spreads. Well, if you ask me, well, how did that meme spread? You couldn't really give an answer, because it spread so many different ways. And each time it spread more ways.
So the significance now is that was kind of the blossoming time of smoking marijuana. You know, what
once
is
again,
the significance for people
well, once
now?
Again, well, once again, I was told in the beginning 420 was the responsible time. Everybody's done with work, and now it's 420. We can all get together and smoke a joint. And then, of course, it's the Waldos. It's after school, and they're going there, and that's 420. It's convenient. But the number 420... stoners are a particularly creative lot. They came up with April 20th as a date, 420. And and so April 20th became, through a lot of different things, a lot of commercial companies named themselves after 420. High Times pushed 420 repeatedly over the years. A lot of T-shirts with 420, a lot of products. It became, April 20th became the Stoner High holiday.
Tell us something about what happens. For example, in New York City, do you know anything
well,
about
every,
New York City?
In New York City, there's some culture, and they get together, but it's cold, and it's cold sun there in New York City, and it's small time in New York City.
How about in L.A.?
Let me give you my own experience. In December, 420 on April 20th in 2014, I was working at the Cannabis Cup in Denver. We put a Cannabis Cup on in Denver. And we had done one the year before. And we brought about 30,000, 35,000 people out over a three-day period to Denver. That day, that 420, we brought almost 70,000 people.
Really?
And they came at us like a sea. And that was the year that they legalized marijuana in Colorado. And so the fact that everybody came out for 420 shows you how culturally inbred this idea is right now. And I got to tell you, at first it was kind of like it was a silly thing. But after a while, you know, I'm sitting there, well, it's 420 in the morning. I should be getting high right now.
Now, listen,
you feel like you're doing something wrong if you're not, you know?
Well, you know, it used to be a so-called secret code, but now it seems that it's been overtaken by the mass media. I mean, has it lost its power, do you think?
No, not at all. I mean, here's the thing. Long before it was picked up by the mass media, and it was also picked up by the companies that were coming up within the culture. So there was 420 glass and 420 nug jars and everything, you know. And so it became a meme. Like I say, it didn't belong to any one thing anymore. But cannabis is so ubiquitous. I mean, you're talking 35 million Americans smoke it every month. So, you know, when you have something like this, if a portion of those people grab onto it, it's going to become institutionalized. And so many people have named their companies after 420. We at High Times have always done things on 420. When High Times was at its height in New York when I was working there, we would have our own 420s. But, you know, the culture isn't strong in New York because everything's compartmentalized. But once you get out to California, there's real culture there. And that's where 420 flourished, probably where it started.
And, now, is there anywhere like a calendar so that our listeners, if they want to go to a 420 event, can they go online and find out if in their city there's an event? I mean, is there a special website for this?
Go to hightimes.com. This is a ubiquitous idea now. So all you got to do is Google 420 2019, and you'll get 100 places that will have listings for it. And a lot of them are local. This is a very big thing. Stoners are playful people.
We also have a lot of people who listen to us on podcasts throughout the world. Is there a worldwide calendar for this event?
I don't know. I think in different countries, it's popular proportional to how big the cannabis industry is in that country. So, for instance, in the Netherlands, 420 is all over the place. it's all over the place. But if you go to in Spain, it's all over the place. But if you go to one of the German countries where it's still, not regarded yet or something like that, then you won't find that culture there. It's an American export, I suppose. There's always a prohibition, and there's always a code that comes up among those that participate in going against the prohibition. And then once the prohibition is lifted, these things become part of the culture, and that's exactly what's happening here.
Well, Rick, I wish we could go on and talk about this. We'll have you on again. Thanks so much for being with us. And I want to thank our Cannabis Healing listeners for being with us today. And we hope you enjoyed our amazing guest, Rick Cusick. Please visit us on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn by searching for Paxton Quigley. Please, friends, stay healthy and balanced. Enjoy 420, maybe for the first time, and stay in touch. I'm Paxton Quigley.